Listening Part 3. You are listening to a PowerPoint presentation. For each slide, there are one or more pieces of information you should note down. While listening, make notes on the right-hand side for items 65 to 74. Answer 0 is an example. You will hear the presentation only once. After listening to the recording, you will have 5 minutes to transfer your answers for items 65 to 74 to answer sheet S30. You will now have 1 minute to read the slides.
Welcome to our lecture series on places of historical interest in the UK. Please welcome the well-known historian Gareth Llewellyn, who is going to tell you about his hometown, the historic Welsh border town of Monmouth.
Thank you. Monmouth is situated in southeast Wales, in the heart of the Wye Valley, an area of outstanding beauty. Just outside the town, drivers coming from England will see the sign "Welcome to Wales, Croeso I Gymru." However, as you will hear in a minute, the town has not always been Welsh, and the current inhabitants have been officially residents of both England and Wales over the last few decades. When the Normans invaded England in the 11th century, they built a line of castles along the Welsh border in order to protect themselves and keep the barbarous Welsh at bay. This led to the creation of an uneasy boundary region, Welsh land manned by foreign soldiers. For several centuries, the Welsh Marches, the name given to this region along the Anglo-Welsh border, were ruled by the Marcher Lords, who did not declare allegiance to either side, ruling by their own law. In medieval Britain, the Marches had a strategic value for the English, not only in defending them from the Welsh, but also, due to the abundance of sheep in the area, for control of the wool trade. In the 16th century, the Marches were declared part of England, and the Crown appointed an English ruler over Monmouth. From the 16th to the early 20th century, the county of Monmouthshire was sometimes considered administratively a part of England and at other times a part of Wales. Various parts of the county claimed to be Welsh, while others were steadfastly English. It was not until the Local Government Act, which came into effect in April 1974, that it was officially confirmed as part of Wales. In the 1980s and 1990s, dual language road signs were introduced, and Monmouth's ancient Welsh name, Trefanwy, was used once again. Monmouth is strategically located where the River Monnow flows into the River Wye, hence its name, at the mouth of the Monnow. Being on the banks of two rivers means that the lower part of town is at risk of flooding when prolonged heavy rainfall affects river levels, as has occasionally been the case over the centuries. Not surprisingly, Monmouth has Roman origins. Evidence that a small Roman garrison was stationed here, at Fort Blestium, was uncovered by local archaeologists, who found various pieces of pottery, coins, and jewellery from that period. It was probably the first Roman fort in Wales. But the person who really put Monmouth on the map was Geoffrey of Monmouth, as he called himself, although whether he was actually born in Monmouth is unclear. Geoffrey, who died in 1155, was an English chronicler, in other words, a writer of historical events, and later bishop. His major work, the Historia Regum Britanniae, History of the Kings of Britain, was one of the most popular books of the Middle Ages, introducing the figure of King Arthur into European literature. The work is one of the first detailed accounts of the legendary figure's life and reign, and it continued to be a major inspiration for writers of Arthurian literature centuries after his death. Geoffrey alleged that his Historia was translated from a very old book in an ancient British dialect. Originally valued as containing accurate facts, we now know that it has no historical value, as it is assumed that Geoffrey invented almost everything. Constructed in 1272, Monmouth Bridge is one of the highlights of the town, and after a couple of accidents with tall vehicles in the 1980s, it is now open only to pedestrians. It stands out in Great Britain as being the only fortified river bridge with a gate tower. The historical and architectural importance of Monmouth Bridge and its rarity are reflected in its status as a nationally important and legally protected monument. Over the years, it has also served as a prison, a munitions store, a toll gate collecting toll from travellers, and lastly, as an inspiration to artists. In the 19th century, thanks to these many poets and artists, the number of visitors to the area greatly increased. Agincourt Square, in the town centre, has a statue of King Henry V, who was born at Monmouth Castle in 1387 and immortalised in Shakespeare's famous play. Although Henry was fond of music and reading, and was the first English king to read and write with ease in his own language, he was also a skilled soldier, instrumental in winning the Battle of Agincourt. As a result of this unexpected English victory, he is remembered mainly for having converted a weak nation into one of the strongest kingdoms in Europe. Henry became heir to the French throne and married Catherine, the daughter of the French king. Unfortunately, he did not enjoy his success long, dying 7 years later. Monmouth is also linked to Admiral Nelson, who used oak wood from the nearby Forest of Dean for his ships. At the top of the Caimin, a small hill overlooking Monmouth, there is a charming monument known as the Naval Temple, which celebrates naval victories. On his official visit to Monmouth in 1802, Nelson visited the Naval Temple that he had inspired, and was most impressed that a small country town so far from the sea should have such a symbolic building. Another tribute to the man is Nelson's Column in the centre of Trafalgar Square in London, which was built 40 years after his death. The haberdasher's Monmouth schools are perhaps the most important feature of the town, promising parents to be the springboard for their child's future. Rated as belonging to the top schools in Britain, despite the fees, the schools attract day pupils and boarders from both near and far. The boys' school was established in 1614 and the girls' school in 1892 by the Worshipful Company of Haberdashers, a group of successful tradesmen selling small articles for sewing and dressmaking. In modern-day Monmouth, the haberdashers continue to financially support the schools. And it is due to their generosity that school fees are kept at an affordable level. In keeping with tradition, the school's motto is Serve and Obey. And this is engraved into the stonework of the beautiful main buildings of the schools that also provide Monmouth with additional architectural value. So, that brings me to the end of my talk. I hope I have awakened your interest in visiting Monmouth, and am happy to answer any questions you may have. You now have 5 minutes to transfer your answers for items 65 to 74 to answer sheet S30. end of the listening subtest.